From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The Taliban's supreme leader, Mullah Mohammed Omar, is reportedly commanding his remaining troops to stand and fight. According to Reuters, Omar delivered a radio message to Taliban forces one day after a U.S. airstrike on a compound south of Kandahar. Also today, confirmation that a CIA officer was killed, the first American to die in the action in Afghanistan. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Military officials say a B-1 bomber dropped about 10 precision-guided bombs on the leadership compound southeast of Kandahar. Photographs taken from a nearby F-16 show the complex was virtually destroyed. Rear Admiral John Stuffelbeam says authorities still aren't sure who was in the compound at the time, but they believed going in it was used by senior Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders.
I don't want to get into the specifics of how fine and exact intelligence is or can be. We were confident that it was Taliban leadership. I think we're always going to be hopeful that the senior leadership will be in one of these locations once we get those kinds of reports that allow us targeting information. But it also is a little bit of a leap of faith to make an assumption. And so we wouldn't assume necessarily that Omar was there or would be there as much as we would hope that he would be there as we attrite the others.
Stuffelbeam says U.S. forces are deliberately stepping up the pressure on Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders with ongoing airstrikes and more Marines on the ground. Troops and equipment continue to flow into the Marines' desert airstrip in southern Afghanistan within striking distance of Kandahar, the last Taliban stronghold. Stuffelbeam says as the number of ground troops grows, they can provide more information about where to drop the bombs.
Part of that is, in fact, due to more intelligence that is being derived with more people on the ground now. So we're getting more intelligence, better targeting capability, but we also need to have more aircraft available in response and on call, and so that can account for some of it.
Yesterday, there were some 120 strike aircraft in the skies over Afghanistan. Most returned to aircraft carriers still loaded with unused bombs, indicating the challenge of finding acceptable targets. Some of the airstrikes yesterday were aimed at supply centers near the eastern city of Jalalabad. But Stuffelbeam says more and more strikes are targeting Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders.
If we break the leadership of the Taliban and break the leadership of Al-Qaeda, there is reduced emphasis or reduced motivation for troops to stay loyal to the cause and continue to fight. There will always be pockets who are going to fight to the death in any case. But getting the key leadership and breaking the chain of command is going to render much of that ineffective. And so, therefore, the pressure is on that leadership.
Even so, Stuffelbeam says there's still a rudimentary chain of command. He notes that Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders are using radios and, in some cases, face-to-face meetings in a frantic effort to maintain communication.
We know that there are elements of the leadership that are trying to reach their seniors for guidance. We know that there is guidance that is still coming down from the senior leaders. I think that to say that they are still calling the shots and still firmly in control would be an overstatement. I think they have much less control than they have had in the past.
The U.S. has also dropped leaflets encouraging Taliban fighters to defect, and Stuffelbeam says interviews with some ex-Taliban suggest that's working. The most hardcore Al-Qaeda members may never give up, though, as evidenced by this week's bloody uprising by Al-Qaeda prisoners near Mazar-e-Sharif. The CIA confirmed today that one of its operatives, Mike Spann, was killed in the resulting firefight. 5 U.S. service people were also injured there when a U.S. bomb went off target. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.